Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I'm sorry, I started the show wrong. I got it wrong. I apologize. Okay, I'm going to try again. Don't worry, we'll edit the wrong intro out. No one will ever know. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show on the American Tech Network. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. Okay. So when we get into the holiday season, timing for when people can be here for shows gets a little wonky sometimes. So today on the British Tech Network, everyone that's here is from the United States. Next week, on the Mac, or excuse me, on the Big Show on Thursday, there's not going to be anyone from the United States here because that's our Thanksgiving holiday. And then Friday for the Mac Show, it's a gamble who will be here and who won't, because once you start the Thanksgiving holiday in the United States, this is one of the few times in the year when American workers can actually take a day off. And so people will be basically militant about taking that Friday after Thanksgiving. So who knows who will be here or how drunk we'll be. Oh, that's an idea. Anyhow, well, thanks for joining us this week. Guys, where can people find you? Wait, there's more. Okay. Dave, how are you?
I am doing great. Nice day off today. Look forward to hanging out with you and Chuck and the rest of us here. And looking forward to chat and have some good conversation. There's always tons of stuff, at least towards the end of the year with Apple, that's for sure.
It's always an adventure. Yeah. And there's a pattern where even though we know this is what happens, we always are genuinely surprised when there's a lot of news to talk about at the end of the year.
Yep.
But every year, that's how it works out.
It does.
Yep. Thanks. And speaking of surprises, the man full of them, Chuck Joyner. Chuck, how are you?
I'm a little frantic this morning, Jeff, because it seems like we hit Friday and I still have like 3 days of things I need to get done for the week. But, you know, hey, it's better than being bored is what I always tell people. And that's what I tell myself as I try to go to sleep at night and fail.
You know, whatever it takes to be able to cope with this chaos, right?
Exactly. Yes. Chaos is an interesting word.
Yeah, well, and I think it's also appropriate.
Yeah, I recently saw, it's funny you say that, because just a couple weeks ago, I saw someone wearing a t-shirt that said Chaos Manager. And it's like, I need that t-shirt.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, can picture maybe it with a cat on it as well.
I don't know about that, but you know, I sort of thought just skip the t-shirt, just get it tattooed on my chest and be done with it.
Okay. We're going to do a GoFundMe. Everyone, we're pulling the money so that Chuck, now that he has committed to getting Chaos Manager tattooed on his chest.
I'd pay to see Lord. That.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why we have a GoFundMe, because a lot of people would pay to see that.
Well, how do you know it's not there
now,
already?
Now it is getting hot here. Chuck. Okay, since it's no secret that I'm not a big fan of personally using AI tools to create art, I feel that the only way I'm going to be able to accurately represent this is to actually draw you, Chuck, with your Chaos Manager tattoo.
Okay.
So now I know what to get you for Christmas. An
the
original art piece.
The artist mind.
I just, it's too bad I didn't think of that during Inktober, Jeffrey. You could have used that as one of your daily drawings.
Yeah, I could have.
But the great thing is, there's no law prohibiting me from drawing outside of October.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
I'm in real trouble.
And actually, I do have a couple requests that that friends have sent me. And here's the thing. One of them, the friend sends me this request and says, is there any way you could draw this? I tried to do it with one of the generative art tools, and it wouldn't because it involves famous people. And so I'm like, well, I have no such filter. So, Chuck, I'm adding you to the list. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what I come up with. I'm sure you are too.
I'm terrified.
Anyhow, well, as long as we are here and we're supposed to be talking about Apple related stuff, I thought we could start off with hands-on personal experience from Dave, because you bought the M4 Mac Mini, and Chuck, you did not, right?
No, I did not.
Okay, so Dave, you are our man in the field for this one, and
as I was when I was at the Apple Store a few weeks ago,
you were show, yes. So this is a great follow-up to your on-location live coverage of buying your Mac Mini. How's it working out for you? Anything you like, anything you dislike, stuff you want to see changed?
Well, I'm not liking anything. The Mac Mini really is a product that I think Apple's really hit it out of the park with. It's small. It's compact. It packs an insane power. You could put it pretty much anywhere. I mean, I've got it stashed on. I mean, one of I had a desktop sitting right under my right at my fingertips here, under my laptop here, to be able to, it's put in a place. You know, because we've always, you know, we'd have cords everywhere and a big desktop. And in fact, I just disposed of two large PC desktops I had sitting under my desk here for at least 10 years.
Wow.
And, you know, look at them. And I opened it up, so I had to want to take the drives out to make sure they're erased. And I'm like, holy cow, looking at that and looking at the old desktop, it's just kind of the miracle of what they've done. Performance-wise, again, if Donnoy doesn't remember, I have the M4, the base model that I'm using for beta testing. And just overall playing, and then the M4 Pro, which is the base model of that model, which is at 512 gigabytes of solid state and 24 gigs of RAM. So that base model is a bargain by all means. I mean, like in fact, I'm looking at Black Friday sales. They've already I think Amazon had it marked down to $499. I mean, they took a whole $100 off on it. So that's the education discount you can get usually. So of course that's going to just sell like crazy. You know this thing's going to sell. But performance wise, I could see myself making this my daily driver. I really could. I mean, it's something that I'm using a monitor and keyboard mouse all the time anyway. You know, I've got my M1. Pro MacBook Pro 16 inch, you know, it's going, you know, it's getting near end of warranty next year. So, we'll see, but I overall experience powerful. I mean, just, you never hear the fan. I've been running it. I mean, you feel a little bit of warmth, nothing crazy. But even though they advertised having that new fan system, you know, to pull the cooling away from the inside of the unit, it's pretty spectacular. So I can't rave about it enough to say that I think it's, if you're looking, you're in the market for having an extra computer or making your primary computer. You're like, I know you, for you, Jeff, you really need to have a laptop. Well, we all do. Oh, well, me, I'm crazy because now I have 1, 2, 3, 4 Macs that are all current because I have a MacBook Air that I travel with all the time. Which is a darn good machine too. So, fully worth it. The ports, having the you have three Thunderbolt 5 ports is just insanity. I've hooked up a bunch of external drives, and it's the performance is just amazing. I mean, obviously not at the I don't have any Thunderbolt 5 drives yet, but that is it is pretty amazing what the performance is with the drives. I'm even considering, like, even with this the five, the base model, and there's been a lot of YouTubers who have been doing this too. Is, and you know, we all knew you could do it, is to move the applications and the storage onto an external SSD, and you know, save the space. Why pay Apple's premium of having it upgraded? Because you know, it's an extra $200 to move up to 512 from 256, which I think is, you know, a little bit of a insanity with cost, but doing something like that, I think that'd be something that someone could do and not have to spend the money. I think the M4 in itself is a great machine for what most people do. You know, someone like Chuck who's doing a lot of video editing, I mean, that one probably wouldn't be. The M4 Pro might be the way to go, but you know, then some folks probably would rather have the M4 Max. Well, and in that case, obviously you can't get a Mac Mini. Then we go down the road of the where the Mac Studio is going. So but I've been hearing people saying that they're abandoning their M2 Mac Studios just because this machine is probably, it outperforms that in some senses. So well worth it, and so far so good.
Yeah, when the Mac Studio came out, my feeling at the time was, wow, if I didn't need to have a portable Mac, the Mac Studio is absolutely the way to go. But now with the M4, well, in my case, it would be the M4 Pro would be the appropriate one to get. I'm feeling like if I didn't need to have a laptop, an M4 Pro would be more than enough computer for my needs.
And I'll jump in here with a little bit different perspective. And it's not the perspective maybe you would expect. I really like having my, and Jeff, I think you and I share this. I like having my production environment mobile. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely looking at, you know, at the other, at the laptop options. However, if not, I kind of think the M4 Pro might be adequate. I'm not even sure the M4 might not be more than adequate. Larry Jordan just did a webinar earlier this week where he was comparing, you know, speeds and everything of all the devices using Final Cut and Premiere. And the M4 just seems to blow everything away. I mean, and I'm not talking about the Pro or the Max, but it just, if they're crazy great increases over what you might be using now. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know that for anyone who is not doing like really heavy duty graphics or really heavy duty Final Cut, that, you know, that you even need to go up to those. Now, there are some capabilities, one of which is really notable for me is the number of external monitors that any of these devices support. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole separate consideration. But for what it's worth, I do want to share this. Larry did the comparisons of Final Cut versus Premiere on the M series chips. And it seems to be pretty obvious. I'm taking his interpretations loosely and adding some of my own, but Adobe doesn't seem to have optimized anything for the M series yet. And so the performance you're getting out of the M series with Premiere is probably not a great deal different than what you were getting out of on the Intel machines. But if you use Final Cut on the M series machines, the gains are phenomenal. So take that for what it's
interesting.
Worth.
You know, I hadn't even thought about Adobe and their development cycle for full optimization for the M series processors. But now that you say this, that makes sense to me because Adobe historically has been working to be as efficient as they can with their development. And when everything was an Intel processor, regardless of the operating system you were running, that did make that easier for them. So,
yeah. And that was one of the points made that, you know, not only are they working with the software for the Mac, but also for the Windows platforms And, so they can't just focus on the Mac. And I understand that, that too makes perfect sense, especially from a business perspective. But from the end user perspective, if I'm trying to use this to make money, I want the best performance I can get. And the differences between, measuring render times in hours versus in minutes, time is
That
money.
matters.
Yeah, a lot.
Okay, Dave, I'm going to ask you the question that I'm not going to tell you my opinion on this because I just want yours, and then I'll share mine. There are different like email groups and chat groups that I'm in where people have been talking about the new Macs, and I have seen a lot of vitriol towards the power button being on the bottom front of the machine. What do you think?
It's ludicrous. It's the silliest thing in the world. I mean, we've talked about this last night on In Touch. No, who, when you turn off your Macs, I mean, I leave them on pretty much all the time. I mean, the only times I'd have to reboot it is if it requires, a reboot. Sometimes something updated or, it needs to be a refresh. But most of the time, people are okay with it. I mean, it's silly. Granted, I think it's kind of crazy how they've put it under here, and I'll bring it up on the screen here just to show you. I mean, it's way down at the bottom and the back of the machine,
Oh, it's at the
and that's
back. I thought it was bottom
yeah.
front, but okay.
No, it's at
So
the back
bottom
here, as
back.
I'm showing on camera. So that's the thing. It's at the back. So that's what everybody's complaining about. Because I mean, well, think about the way the old Mac Minis were. It was always here on the side here, where you could reach around and tap it, to do a power. But now you have to go fumble around. But it's not only is it's not on the. I believe the old Macs were. It was on the right, if I remember correctly. But yeah, you got to go on the left, which is on this side here, yeah, I mean, I understand it, but like people are saying, when do you turn your Mac off, especially desktop Macs? I mean, it is. I think it's just a. I think it'll blow over and people get over it. And again, I don't think it has any factor of going and jumping and buying this new Mini.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Because you have one. And so your experience matters in this case. Yeah. Here's my take. I run a MacBook Pro in closed lid mode when I'm at my desk. This is what I have done for years. Like, I don't know. Easily 15 years. This is how I've used my MacBook Pros at my desk. Because it's in closed lid mode, I literally have no access to a power button on this thing.
That's true.
And over the years that I've been using my Mac in this way, off the top of my head, I know I've needed to lift up the lid a couple times to hit that power button. But I would speculate the number of times that I've actually needed to touch the power button when I have the lid closed, I could probably count all of those on one hand and have fingers left over.
Exactly. I mean, it's just crazy.
I feel like this is one of those things where people just need something to complain about. They just need to find something that is wrong with it. I mean, I've seen a couple. In fact, there was even one. I was trying to find it, and I'm being unsuccessful at the moment. But there was somebody on Kick that on excuse me, on Etsy that was 3D printing a little. I mean, it almost looks like a lever of some kind that you would,
I
put.
think I've seen that.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, if it really bugs you that much, then spend a few bucks and buy this thing and just be quiet, because this is just such an amazing machine, and there's so many other important things to talk about than the fact that Apple made a, admittedly a little bit strange, but a decision to place the power button where they did. And that they didn't do that without some kind of good reason, that there wasn't some compromise to make it as small as it is and put the power button there. if it had made sense to put it on the top by side, either side or front, and there had been room for it, it would have been done. But as it was, this made sense, and from a compromise standpoint, so they did it. So suck it up and, you know, tilt your machine forward if you need to turn it on or off.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And Apple has so much data on how we use our computers. Right. They know how often people are having to physically power cycle their computers. And yeah, if it was something people were having to do all the time, I think that would have played a role in the positioning of this button. So there you go.
Agreed.
Hey, one more thing I'd like to add as far as comparisons. I'm looking at the comparisons of the two previous models of the Mac Mini. You know, I just, as I mentioned before, when I bought these, I traded in two M1 Mac Minis, which were great machines when they came out 4 years ago, and they're still great machines because they are the silicon processors. So they started with 8-core GPU and only maximum of 16 gigs of RAM. So that's really light because you had the ones I had were 8 gig, and that's what if we remember that Apple finally has now put 16 as the base.
Finally,
and 2 terabytes of space. So then you go down to the M2, you got 19 core GPU right up to 20 core, and then the base was 32 gigs, and they moved it all the way up to 64 gigs of RAM now. So you can, you know, when you max out one of these Mac Minis, you're still going to pay, you know, a pretty good amount of money because, you know, you're paying the Apple premium for upgrading RAM and hard drive space. So, but it's interesting to see how in 4 years where it's gone, you know, from the base model now to where it is today. And
I feel like Intel should be really, really scared because
I think they already are. scrambling.
Okay. Yeah, fair. But I mean, look at what Apple's doing with their chip designs and how fast they're rolling out these new versions. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So I thought that was awesome.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Ah, thanks.
All right. Let's talk about, as long as we just got through the part of, hey, why are people upset about this? Hey, why is law enforcement upset at Apple again? Oh, probably because Apple quietly included a new feature in iOS 18 that to me sounds really awesome. If your iPhone is inactive for 48 hours? No, 4 days, 4 days. It will automatically reboot itself. So it puts it back into before first unlock state. And this is a security measure. So it makes it even more difficult to hack into the phone because it's now in before first unlock state. So you have to use a passcode, face ID, touch ID, not an option. And this is a security feature. Some law enforcement agencies apparently are kind of miffed about this because it means that iPhones that they are confiscating that are probably going to have to sit around for a while before someone can start trying to hack into them.
Right.
Very likely will have rebooted before they get a chance to try using their hacking tools.
Yeah, no, I think this is something that Apple is, as they continue to do, is do a great job with security. Not saying anything about it, I guess I understand because it is a security thing that they're doing and not advertising it. They had to know with all of the researchers, quote unquote researchers, hackers, as you know, as all that are out there in the computing community, that it's going to be done. So I welcome this. I think it's something that has to be done. But you know, we talked about this again on my show last night. None of us are going to be not start touching our phone for 4 days. But 4 days is a long time. That's a long time before this, because that means it's giving the law enforcement knowing when they've collected it, that 4 days to be able to hack it without it being connected to. So I guess maybe they compromise for law enforcement. I don't know, but I would probably think 2 days would be probably more sufficient.
I agree.
But no, I think this is very smart, and you know they're doing things that making sure that everything is being kept secure, and why not? It's an inactive feature. You know, it's using that secure enclave processor to track it. So that's what Apple added that. And that's why I feel always proud and comfortable to have an iPhone.
I respect what law enforcement's trying to do and what their concerns are. But I also, this point has been made by all of us dozens of times and by plenty of other people. Our phones have become so much more than our phones now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would rather lose my wallet than my phone, by far, yeah. Assuming that somebody could potentially get into my phone. And so this just makes it that much more difficult to get into my phone and access everything that's there. And potential, I mean, not just potentially for banking information or for taking information from me, but also for learning more about me and, you know, using that against me. So there's so many reasons that the phone needs to be as secure as you can possibly make it. And I'm with Dave, you know, is 4 days a compromise? I think that's pretty good. Does it mean that in theory, law enforcement would have to streamline their processes a little bit better? Would it mean that potentially, and I'll play the devil's advocate on the other side, potentially if I'm brought in for something, and I refuse to cooperate. Okay, they've got 4 days. Maybe I'm completely innocent, but are they having to crack my phone faster than they might have if they had time to go through their existing processes? Okay, maybe. But you know, I'm the one making the choice not to cooperate, and so that intimates that there's something to hide somewhere. So,
or it intimates that you know your rights in whatever country you're in.
Jeff. Yeah. Okay. I'll go with in whatever country you're in. I mean, this is an unpopular opinion, but I'm just not convinced that the police are always the bad guy. They're just like every other profession out there. They're good ones and they're bad ones. And, you know, unfortunately in a police situation, they're ones with a whole lot more authority than, you know, your broker or even your lawyer or your doctor. So, you know, I have to respect that position too. But at the end of the day, I think this is great. And if they had not announced it, or if they made it 2 days or 12 hours or whatever, I'd probably look down, and when it demands that I log back into it with my passcode, it's like, oh yeah, I got to do this again. You know, it's part of the ongoing Apple security. And I don't know that I have really thought about it or noticed it unless it was just every single time. So I'm with you guys. I think this is an excellent, excellent new feature that adds just that much more security to my phone.
Now add the feature to my iPads. I want it on all my devices.
Wow, that's interesting. iPad, I would agree with. I'd be a little hesitant to have that on my Mac. But yeah, no, wait a minute. If I take my hands off of it for 4 days, as long as it's doing an order, as long as it would be doing an orderly shutdown and not, you know, and that would be interesting because there's so many different apps that you have to acknowledge quitting, or they want you to, you know, do a double queue to command quit or to quit. Mm-hmm. As long as you were not potentially losing any information for me, then I think I would be fine with it for a 4 day layoff.
Well, how about if I say for my mobile devices, so iPhones, iPads, Apple Watch, on my Mac, if I go a certain amount of time, I don't even know what it is because I never pay attention. But if I go a certain amount of time without logging into my account, like if my computer goes to sleep and I need to wake it up and enter my passcode again, if it's gone like over the weekend, I always have to enter my passcode. So
and
that
does
that would I
sorry
guess that would take care of the problem right there anyhow.
Well, and it's an interesting point, if because we've been talking about cracking phones so much. Excuse me. Does cracking a Mac, is there any advantage to having it? Oh boy, hold on a second.
Okay,
sorry
everyone.
About that.
Now you can back up the video a little bit and get that screenshot of Chuck's face right before his sneeze.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Jeff, that's interesting. If you have to log in, but you've already logged in and you've already got everything going and active, it goes right back. Does that make it any easier or harder to crack a Mac if it's in that state versus a completely cold start state?
That's a good question. Well, if it's booting up from an off state, nothing is loaded except for the operating system and necessary components for the computer to function, until you enter your username and passcode, assuming you have your Mac set, so you have to enter your username, and it's when you log into your account for that first time after a reboot, that it launches all the applications you have it set to launch. Assuming you have applications set to auto launch, and assuming that that you have reopen active windows set as well. Otherwise, there's no apps running.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about that side of it from a law enforcement standpoint of it, or from a cracking standpoint. What difference would the two states make as far as being able to get in?
Maybe encryption. Because
if you're using File Vault.
If you're using File Vault, yep. Because the way File Vault works now, everything stays in an encrypted state until it's used. Not like old File Vault where it would decrypt your drive when you entered your password. Now it just decrypts what it needs when it needs it.
On the fly.
On the fly, yep.
Okay, so then maybe this is not, because of that structure, maybe this is not something that is needed on the Mac, that the Mac is just taking a different approach to sort of the same issue.
This would be a great day for Patrice to be here because she knows a lot more about this. Yeah. So, well, regardless, I'm glad we have this feature. I would like Apple to drop the that window from 4 days down to 2 days, or give me a setting where I can set how long I want from 2 days to 4 days.
Agreed.
All right. So another story. By the way, everything we've talked about up to this point has been thanks to Dave's hard work, because we Dave, thank you for letting
You're
us
welcome.
Crib from your show notes from In Touch with iOS. And also, you dropped the cash on a new Mac Mini, two new Mac Minis, and so we're able to talk about hands-on experience because of that. So thank you.
Thanks.
And Chuck, we can talk more about Vision Pro once you get one, so you can give us your hands-on experience.
Especially Star Trek note from this morning.
Yes. If and when I get a Vision Pro, you will be the first. You guys will be the first to know.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So next story. This one came out this morning, so it couldn't be in Dave's notes because you don't have a TARDIS. And the so here's the news. The EU e-books antitrust investigation against Apple has been closed. And it appears that it's been closed because it was actually irrelevant. There you go. Yeah. Our silence speaks volumes. It's like, okay, well, that was that.
You're right. That there's nothing
Yeah.
to say about it.
Yeah, and so there is a statement from the EU Commission about this. The closure of an investigation is not a finding that the conduct in question complies with EU competition rules. The Commission will continue to monitor business practices in the European tech sector, including those of Apple, both under the DMA and competition rules. So that's just a generic statement, and they can just fill in the blank on whatever company they're talking about at the time. So it, instead of saying Apple, they could have said Google or Microsoft or Amazon, whoever. So it sounds like insider sources are saying, yeah, this is actually an irrelevant case. All right. So you know what's not irrelevant? TSO hosts. And why? Well, because TSO Host is web hosting company, and what they're doing is taking the resources that they have and giving them to us so we can do the things that we do. And what that means is that they're giving us the bandwidth so we can live stream multiple shows every single week. They're giving us the hosting space we need, so there's a place for the British Tech Network website to live. And they're giving us the storage space we need so that there's a place for all the show recordings to live. So you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes anytime you want, including today's episode, where you can go back a few minutes and get that screenshot of Chuck's pre-sneeze face. Hey, it's a thing, Chuck. People are all about you and your sneeze face. So anyhow, the resources it takes to bring all of this to you, it's kind of intensive. And without TSO Host's help, we wouldn't be able to do all the things we do. So we really appreciate that TSO Host is here and helping us out with that. So thank you, TSO Host. And if all of you could hop on social media and give TSO Host a shout out, thank them for being here and supporting us, that would be awesome too. So thank you again, TSO Host. And now comes the part where I usually just stumble my way through this because I do not know what my dysfunction is. However, I do not stumble nearly as much now. Here's the deal. We have a live chat that everyone can participate in while we're doing shows. And in the old days, I could not, for the life of me, get through talking about this without sounding like I've been hit in the head really, really hard. And now, because Patrice has taken the time to completely modernize our live stream and our live chat system, even I can talk about it now. So that's saying a lot. So here's the deal. When you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com, you'll see the live stream video, and right there with it, you're going to see the chat. And that's where you can chat with us in real time. That's where we drop links to the articles we discuss about. The articles we discuss about. Wow, apparently I have been hit in the head. Yeah. And I'll just move on because I can't recover from that one. That's where we also put the links for the cool things that we will be talking about shortly. And it's a great little resource so that you can find all the info about each episode without having to try and like write notes super fast. So it's all there. Let's say, though, that you watch or listen to the shows after they've been recorded and published, but you still want to see the links and everything else that was in the live chats. You can do that because we save those chats. So what you would do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and you'll see a calendar there. Click on the date for the episode you're interested in. So today would be Friday, November 22nd, 2024. And when you click on that, then you'll see the saved chat right there. You can get it everything. And super easy. So thank you, Patrice, for getting all of that set up. And there you go. Simple as that. So now, I think I actually got through that, other than proving that I'm incapable of speaking English clearly. I think I got through all of it okay. So now it's time to do cool things. And Dave, you have the first cool thing, which, by the way, is in the chat that I just talked about.
It is.
Tell us about your cool thing.
Well, I actually found this interesting because my wife really likes TikTok, and this is a very inexpensive remote control that they advertise for TikTok, a page turner for Kindle. It's a Bluetooth camera, a video recording remote. It's basically a scrolling ring for TikTok. So what you do is you put this little thing in your hand, and if you see the buttons that are on that thing, it says T on there. Or it has the, I'm sorry, not T. It's got the up and down, so you can scroll between all the videos instead of you having to swipe. This remote control does it for you. But it also works for like for camera video recording, and it's got the long distance connection, so it can be compatible, and it's compatible with iOS and Android devices, and it'll work for with Spotify. If you have Spotify, it's a Bluetooth 5 chip, a chip, so it's a good connection. Got a charging case and charging on the go, so it can last for about 14 hours. And for ebook turners and reading apps, you don't have to be touching the screen. That you just use this to flip the pages. Inexpensive, $20, and it comes in all kinds of colors. Of course, I had to get her pink, but it comes in black and it comes in the blue color and gray, purple, and white. So $20, cool little thing.
My first thought when you were showing this was, you're kidding, right?
No, I'm not.
And now I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, actually, I know some people where they would like to have something like
Yeah, good
this.
stocking stuffer for the Christmas coming up.
All right. I never would have guessed this one. And also, I feel obligated to admit that when the page came up before I read anything and I just get a flash of the image, I was like, Dave brought a sex toy.
No.
Don't be stepping on my territory, man.
Wow.
I will, Dave, I will rescue you from any further comments by Jeff.
Please.
I've met your wife. She is perfectly lovely.
Yes.
And out of deference to her, I will withhold my honest feelings about someone who needs this or wants this. I mean, oh my God, we have hit a new low in
Well,
laziness.
yeah, well.
But you know, and of course, the really the paranoid in me says, oh, this is great. So now TikTok will be able to track me even when I'm not on their app through the fact that I've strapped a device connected to their app to my wrist. So. But yeah, you know, look, if you're into it, I got nothing to say.
There's
And
millions and millions of people into TikTok. I'm not, but I'm
yeah,
not one of
it's a
those. I mean,
big
other than
thing.
I would probably try to publish stuff from our content creation sometimes, but I haven't been aggressive with it. But yeah, it's insanely popular.
Yeah,
Well,
I you know. And
But you can
Chuck,
use it
you're
for camera
right.
control and stuff too, so it's not just for TikTok.
Yeah. So see, Chuck, there's valid use. You want to do remote photos, like you set up your iPhone and you don't want to be touching it while you're taking photos. Let's say you're doing nighttime photography. You've got your iPhone on a tripod and you want to take a photo. You don't want to touch your phone. Here you go. Now you have a Ring remote, and Ring, it goes on your finger, not like Ring camera remote. And now you won't even lose a remote. Or if you do, you probably have bigger problems because your finger's gone.
I don't want to, I'm not picking on Dave's pick, but I've got an Apple Watch for
No,
that.
I don't.
So, yeah, I mean, okay, yeah, look, it's great. Whatever makes you happy, I
I didn't buy it for
sort.
myself, so just to make put to make the clear that record, so.
Yeah, no. I mean, like Jeff's sex toy comment, whatever makes you happy. Yes.
Also, I want to point out that this shows how amazingly awesome Dave is, not just as a person, but as a husband, because he loves his wife and she is amazingly awesome. I have met her too. He loves his wife so much that he thinks about her like, hey, this is something I bet she could use because I know what she's interested in and what she
Right.
enjoys.
There you go. But someone else
And
out there might be interested.
he's also a very brave man because he would bring it to this audience, this panel, and let us rip it to shreds. So we admire you, Dave, for lots of different reasons.
Okay.
That
That was
was
fun.
actually a really good pick, despite what Chuck is implying.
I thought it was fun.
Okay. All right,
Ooh.
Chuck, tell us about your cool thing.
Mine's not nearly as controversial, I don't think, anyway.
Well, we'll make it controversial. I'm working
I'm sure
on
you
thoughts right now.
we'll work on
sure
it.
you will. And this caught my eye, especially as because CES is coming up, and so I'm planning on being there. I'm planning on doing a lot of interviews. That means we suck up a lot of storage. And this is a SanDisk 1.5 terabyte
Yeah, I saw
memory
that.
card. What, and I'm going to say that again, 1.5 terabyte
Holy
memory card.
crap.
So this is going to, I feel like this should keep us going for a good solid day and a half before even having to change cards. And right now it's on what Amazon claims is a Black Friday special for basically $89. So
For that
this, I mean, that's
small little
just,
thing, the size of a fingernail.
I know that's just absolutely insane. If you have this need, I've also been experimenting just a little bit. It's one of those things I keep trying to get back to do more. But you having a memory card as an extra storage piece for things that I really don't use that often on my MacBook Pro, as opposed to a plug-in SSD or something, the write speeds usually, read and write speeds usually aren't anywhere near what you can get with an SSD. But if it's stuff that I really don't need that often and just maybe need to pull on occasionally, this it's another option. So that's another use for a memory card. But regardless of how you use it, if you have a need for a memory card with a lot of storage, $88 is kind of amazing.
Yeah,
89.
yeah. Plus, they'll give you the SD to micro SD adapter. You can put it into, like I'm looking at my dock here. It's got my slot. I can put that in there very easily and have 1.5 terabytes of space. I think you've spent my money. God
Yeah.
dang you.
You're welcome, Dave. You're welcome.
Why?
So now you can buy one of your little TikTok wrist straps for yourself too, with the money you saved. Well, I don't know, but so you have matching. Your wife will love it.
That's so sweet. Chuck, I think you may have just hit on one of the reasons why neither of us happen to be married.
That's a pretty good analysis, Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So my cool thing, and the cool thing that I wanted to bring, I couldn't find the actual link for it. Oh wait, maybe I did. Hold on, hold on. I think I did. Okay, so no, dang it. I thought I did. All right. Well, I'll tell you what I wanted to bring, which is the The oh, I found it. Okay, here we go. Holy crap, that was ridiculous. Okay, so what my backup pick was going to be was the new season of Silo, because episode one I think is better than all of the first season. And so and for me that's saying a lot, because I was kind of nonplussed by season one of Silo, but season two, episode one, I thought was really, really good. Okay, but here's my actual pick. Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock together again. This week a short video came out that gives Star Trek fans the closure that they wish they could have had for Captain Kirk and Ambassador Spock. Because, well, S Ambassador Spock, as how is this spoiler territory? At this point, I guess it shouldn't be, because it's been so long. Ambassador Spock dies in the Kelvin universe, because he got sucked over from the Prime Star Trek universe to the Kelvin universe. So he dies there, and Captain Kirk dies in Star Trek Generations. Alone on the planet that the Nexus ribbon is about to hit. So they don't get to have that closure together. So this video, which is produced in part by Leonard Nimoy's wife, she's still alive, and was supported by William Shatner. It uses live actors. And one of them, I know all of you have seen in something or heard him somewhere, Sam Witwer. He's done a lot of TV shows and voiceover in animation. And yeah, so anyhow, he does the body action for Captain Kirk. And then there's another actor who does the body action for Spock, and they use a lot of AI to do some really good CGI work, so that it looks like you're actually looking at William Shatner as he looked in Star Trek Generations. And yeah, so it's like what, 10 minutes long? And it has some interesting, fun Easter eggs, and even has Robin Curtis as Savick in it. And so I've watched it on my TV,
I'm going to the downloader right now.
and yeah, but it's also available for Apple Vision Pro. So you can have a completely immersive experience with with this whole thing. So it's called
I just clicked the link. The app itself is the native app. It is called The Archive by OTOY.
yes, and it and the VR archive thing, it's something that's done in conjunction with Eugene Roddenberry, and it gives you a way to explore a lot of the Star Trek universe and ships in an immersive environment. So this is called 765874 Unification. I suppose I should explain the 765874 bit. There are like three or four other little bits, mini shorts that Otway did before doing Unification, and they all involve in some way, it like it's a very esoteric tie-in to I what was her rank? Colt in the original Star Trek pilot, but also seen in Menagerie Part One and Part Two. Colt was one of the female officers that was captured and put in the menagerie as a potential mate for Captain Pike. And so they've done these little shorts that involve her in very like superficial ways. And so this is just like the next in that whole series. And her Starfleet identification number is 765874. So that's where that number comes from.
Maybe you've got some interviews with Shatner and with George Takei.
Jeff, I want to make a quick point here. If you go looking for this on YouTube, you're going to have a hard time finding it because it's unlisted. So
Oh, is
you
it?
have to have the direct link. Yeah, there, if you search for it, you're going to find people doing commentary on it, and you might find the teaser, but you're not going to find the whole thing. So pay attention to the link that Jeff put in the show notes, or go to the Otoy page, and that's where you get the direct link to just that, with nobody talking over it or messing it up for you. And I just, Jeff, I'm with you. I mean, I watched it on my 4K screen behind me, and I mean, it's gorgeous. You watch it a few times, and what they're doing now, what they can do now with effects and aging and de-aging and everything is, borderline amazing. So I mean, it was very cool. And if you're a Star Trek fan, I think you'll really like it. But kind of the point here that I'm making is just be sure you're getting the right experience by going to the OTOY link or using Jeff's link to get to the correct spot on YouTube.
That's good to know. I hadn't bothered to look on YouTube.
Because the link brings you to like a big full screen when you click where it says the archive.
And watching this on like a big high quality high resolution screen,
Yeah, and there's other movies here too.
it's beautiful. Yeah, the other ones that
Memory
they have.
Wall, Generation, and Unification teaser. That's the teaser for the video that they just released. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very cool.
So, yeah. Anyhow, there you go. It's
I'll be loading it up on my Vision Pro here. Gotta check it out.
yeah, I am. Let me know what you think of it on Vision Pro, because well, Chuck needs to know.
Yes. Because he wants it. Don't you want this?
Get out of here and let people go enjoy the Star Trek thing
Okay,
instead of
fine.
listening to us.
Okay, fine. Okay, so we're going to wrap up so that everyone except Chuck can go watch Unification on their Vision Pro. Oh, Dave, where can people find you?
You could find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. I'm on YouTube. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night with both of you and others, many other of our friends, as well as I am on Blue Sky. I'm doing Blue Sky now. Dave G65 at bluesky.social, I think it is, but you could find it just by searching. Thanks.
Awesome. Awesome. And Chuck, how about you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you're going to find everything from the recordings of the Mac Voices live session that Dave just mentioned. We are just kicked off our annual holiday gift guide series. There are more coming very, very quickly. Not necessarily in time for Black Friday, but that's okay because the holiday gift giving and getting season continues the whole way through Christmas. So we will have plenty of ideas, just like the ones we do here in Picks, for things that you might want to give or get. And on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner, including Blue Sky.
Awesome. All right. Then for me, Jay Gamut on all the socials, and everyone already knows that I'm most active on Mastodon and Instagram, but I am working on becoming more active on Blue Sky.
Me too.
And yeah. So then shows. Chuck lets me join in on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Dave lets me join in on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Ewan continues to let me be your interim host on the Big Show and the Mac Show here on the British Tech Network. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and Patrice Brendamore and I do Retro Rewatch. And I believe a new episode has dropped today. If not, if it hasn't dropped already, it will be out shortly.
By the time I hear this,
so excuse me. All right. So with that, hey, thank you to both of you for entertaining me so much today, because clearly that's really what this is all about. Just keeping me entertained and which is apparently a ploy to keep me out of everyone else's way. So well done, both of you. And hey, everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here. All of you are awesome. And everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, I'm so glad you are part of the BTN family as well. And hey, that family also includes Ewan. So Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And Tiosa hosts, thank you for being here to support us. So with that, everyone, wait, we have a Chuck thing.
It's obvious to some of us, to us in the U.S., but not necessarily to everyone in the U.K. or the rest of the world. The next time we see you will be after Thanksgiving. So you and your families have a terrific, safe Thanksgiving holiday. Please eat all you can, but, you know, be safe doing it. And we will see you sometime after that.
Thank you for bringing that up. That's actually a very important message here on the Now American Network.
American Tech Network.
The American Tech Network, yes. Yes. So with that, everyone that is around next Thursday, which will be Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S., please come and join us or whoever is here for the Big Show. And then come back again on Friday for the Mac Show. And yeah, it's going to be a crapshoot to see who's actually here for either of those shows, since we screw stuff up with our American holidays. It's just how we roll. All right. So with that, everyone have an awesome weekend. And some of us will see you next week.